We were waiting.
Chairs are more comfortable.
Was there going to be four of them here?
For the record, I called the meeting to order at 3:00.
We were here.
It was just Bobby and I, but we had not established a quorum.
We had a lot of discussion about your car was here, but
yeah, nobody home.
So I'll call the meeting to order again, now that we do have a quorum. The meeting is being recorded, Ace didn't know. It's being recorded in the other room as well. So if you're out there, you want to listen to both of them, you're more than welcome to. The minutes for the meeting of November 19th were all sent out. Did everybody get a chance to review? If you have.
So moved.
Second.
No, we can't say. Motion. Need a second?
Second.
Awesome. We have a motion to say any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The minutes are passed. A big welcome to our official at this point. Right, Kathy? Are you officially?
Yes.
It wasn't supposed to be a hard question.
I know.
I don't know instruction
was trying to get out of it. She's looking for a way out.
Michelle, please help me. You're it.
Okay.
Tag.
All right.
So thanks for being with us and helping us out. We can all forward our emails to her now. All right. Any public comments? You can't answer, Michelle.
She's got a comment.
All right. Old business. We'll start with charter school expenditures. Any other conversation about charter school expenditures? Letter to the board, Heather?
Can I add a little info to that? I spoke with...
You may.
We had two different submissions from Oasis there. One of the ones that indicated that they had a building renovation purchase.
Correct.
They had resubmitted their form.
Okay.
We had actually called them back initially and told them it was unacceptable. So I had them in on a different issue, and they indicated that they had reallocated prior to the close of the year. So I asked them for proof. I asked if they could please send in reports showing that that's actually how those expenditures were spent, so we're waiting on those. And we'll provide those once we get them. Also, this is Kathy Miley. She's our new senior finance analyst who's going to be working with the referendum expenditures and also doing some things with our audit committee. She's helping us with our special projects that need a lot of attention. So she's reached out to the other schools. Imagine had listed lease payments. I informally spoke with them and they said that indicated it was rent, but she's finding out for sure.
Okay.
So we have documentation for
all right.
those. And I think Doug's done
I
work
do.
On this as well.
I do.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
Sir.
So I did, after the last meeting, I felt it was enough direction to contact Mr. Dye to see if he could weigh in legally on those questions that you were asking about charter schools. So I do have a written opinion for him to pass around where he affirms what you're saying, that he says the charter schools, you know, should use the money, obviously, for the manner in which they were presented to the community. So...
So will this be presented to the charter schools going forward that this is the way that the expenditures have to be,
absolutely,
should be used in order to get the millage money?
Yes.
Absolutely. And remember, it's just the two charter schools in question that we had too. So right,
yeah.
Just the two. So and the one we're hearing now is
corrected
before
yeah.
the end of the
yeah.
year last year. So
and that makes sense. I was hoping they could do that.
All right. So, and then the second part of the question.
The question is rent?
Is that acceptable?
Operating, rent can be considered an operating expense as long as the amounts you pay do not entitle you to ownership in the future. So like lease with option to purchase.
Lease would be no, okay.
Well, if it's got a purchase option in it or something like that.
But you could establish what was towards purchase, what was towards lease at that.
And we're not, I don't even know if that's.
Any of them are applicable.
Yeah, we're checking on that. It may just be rent.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, Doug, go ahead.
Oh, and so the second part of the question was the MTC question as well. So that's in this same letter, does both work. Yes, as we thought, you could spend it on, you know, Manatee Technical College is considered a part of our school system, of course. Just the funds didn't specify anywhere that it was just limited to K through 12. Nor did it specify it was only for post-secondary, it's just for the school district. So you did weigh into both those issues on this memo.
Okay.
But I do think going forward, so we have been working, as we talked about at the last meeting, just to recap, Dr. Pistella is over the charter schools, remember, that's his assignment. And so we're giving this to you first, of course, but it'll go to him next with, so he can make sure that the charter schools all understand, as a reminder too, even the ones that did it correctly, to say, you know, going forward, we need you to make sure you're using the money as specified in the vote.
Very good.
And those who would, and maybe those who did not do it on their action plans have to update their action plans, and we bring them back to you at the next meeting. I mean, if you, again, it's up to you all.
Right, and moving forward.
Yeah.
The duration of the village.
Well, this year for sure. I mean, this year for sure, because we do know that there's two, and now just one that has something different than what we'd like. So we'll make sure they redo their action plan, and we bring it back.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Did the letter that I sent Kathy for the board, and I'm sorry, I've been out of town for a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure, but I sent a letter before. Is the committee address or asked me to send a letter to the board? So did that letter get passed on to the board?
I'm going to look at my email, but I forwarded everything I got, so I'm going to look right now.
Okay. But the what we were looking to get addressed was addressed, so we're good. All right. Moving on, obviously we've already covered, but if anything else on Manatee Technical College funding, Doug, I mean, you just addressed it with Jim Dye as well.
Yep, with
but
Steven.
If there's anything else you'd like to add?
No, I mean, last year we spent as a, you know, I don't, the document I handed out at the last meeting that showed, I think we spent, you know, under $20,000 at Manatee Technical College, so it was not a lot of money, but going forward, we'll continue to hand out those reports once we have expenditures so you can see. But our intent is to treat them just like any other of our schools as well. So.
Excellent. All right. Continuing on old business, environmental study. Gentlemen with the, we're going to have some results today.
No. No. So for the climate survey, are we on C?
Yes,
yes sir.
Did you say environmental?
That's climate.
Okay. 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 All right.
Climate.
Yeah. So the climate survey.
Climate, environment. Potato, potato, come on.
I just want to make sure I had the right agenda because I didn't pick up one of yours.
There's one over in room 213 that I was following.
This was before we were on that.
I want to talk about climate.
Yeah. So the study did go out. We had good participation. It has come back just now, and we're deciphering the results, but it's going to have to be at this next meeting that we have here to disseminate that to everybody.
Okay.
We're still at the point where leadership's not seen it, I don't believe the board's seen it, and so it'll have to be at the next meeting. But we did have favorable, we did have a lot of participation.
Good.
Senator Kevin could not be here today, so.
Did you have the participation that you feel gave you enough information?
I do. I believe we had solid participation from the employees.
Okay.
I don't know what those numbers are exactly.
Yeah, the whole detail.
I want to say 2,000 plus somewhere in there. But we had Pardon me?
$2,500.
Okay, yeah, $2,500. It would've gone to all the employees, so $7,000.
Statistically, it works.
Okay. So results at our next meeting?
Yep, and show how we did the last time and the percentages, so you can have something to gauge it by. Do we have more participation this time than last time? How was it the first time?
Okay. Any other comments on the climate survey or the environmental survey? Either one. Take a vote. All right. Any other new business anyone may think of? What'd that say?
Are you on the wrong page?
Apparently, I just hit that wall flying back.
Too much partying last night.
He stole it all.
He had two balls.
New business. Report from the data analytics subcommittee meeting. Bobby, I know you were out of town, is that right?
Correct.
So there was no data analytics subcommittee meeting in December.
Okay.
There was only incoming expense.
All right, so we'll move to B.
Well, I do have a summary of vacancies from Doug for December.
All right.
The interesting point of note is that from December 2nd to December 9th, the number of posted vacancies went from 62 to 113.
And that's attributable to?
That's what I would like to know. Is that pretty typical for this time of year? You have people leaving at the halfway point and?
Different things.
Where was it last year, say?
Well. Say it again.
Oh, just that it was a jump in the number of vacancies, and I'm wondering what that's attributable to and how that compares to years past.
No. All right. And Jacob's here as well, who can speak to these vacancies. But what you're looking at when you're that sheet that's coming around is a summary sheet. And you had asked at the last meeting that we start using percentages of the total. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the percentage of the total. Where you're getting your number of 62, I believe, and 12-2, is that what you're talking about? On the far left of that program?
Correct.
Now where we're at 95. This is pulling from the system of vacancies that are posted. So that's how we track them. So if a school posts them, we push them on this sheet to show the vacancies. So what could happen is that for this particular one, we had 30 more vacancies posted this last week here at the school system than we had before. We have a new system, that just went live under 2 months ago. We track for sure the teacher vacancies because that has the biggest, and large impact on our student population. So if you look at the teachers going across that first page, you can see you had 26 posted in 12-2, you had 35 posted in 12-9, you have 31 posted in this week, 31 posted in this week, and so we're hovering right around 1% of the teachers being vacant. Having openings.
Is there a way to find out what the numbers were 12 months ago?
Well, Jacob, you want to speak to that? Because that's a tough one with our data system.
Yeah, we should be able to get you cursory data for that. What I'd just like to make a note of here is these are snapshots in time. A vacancy can fall off by virtue of expiration date. Reposted a couple of minutes later, so I just want to make sure that it's clear that that skews the numbers slightly.
But it's consistent, right? I mean, it's the same happens every week, every year.
Correct.
I mean, you can't disregard the numbers just because it could have been a snapshot. It was a snapshot last time it was.
Sure.
Right?
And then the second thing that I would say is it's, post-raise execution, oftentimes we see a little bit of a blip. So when people, that see that raise is coming in, oftentimes we see more and more vacancies start to come to fruition. So,
Yeah, could you tell?
No, you're saying that because the raise is going.
They wait to get their raise.
Right, I mean, you'll oftentimes see some fall off or people who have given the resignations, knowing that those raises are coming earlier in the year. Last year, we executed raises in March. And so this is, you know, I wouldn't say this is atypical data, but I can certainly get you historical data from last year to compare.
Well, I mean, that's what we're trying to compare. Has the millage money helped? So if we had last year's data to compare, you can't say that it's the millage that changed or either up increase or decrease, but you can at least compare. So
maybe we could do an average of a month. You know, maybe it could be a month.
Right, right.
Average.
I couldn't agree more.
What you're talking about, I agree. When we pull them,
if you take the third week versus
them or not,
right?
That skews the numbers here. So we're hovering right around 30 teacher vacancies right now.
Yeah. So we're, yeah, and if you average all 4 weeks of the month.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah. Darren, do you have a question?
Yeah, Doug, so I just want to make sure I understand. So this document is only showing vacancies posted, not actual vacancies, is that?
Yeah, that's correct.
So why aren't we looking at actual vacancies?
Well, many times you run into a situation where at the beginning of the year, you might have these posted, and then what happens is, you post them a couple times, you can't get anyone to apply. You can't find a favorable candidate. So you go to your school and you say, look, we have to have a teacher. We would like someone to teach on their planning period. And if you do teach on your planning period, we'll compensate you for that, but we need you to do that. And so the teachers will say, I'm gonna teach on my planning period, perfect. So technically, they may still, we know, have the vacancy, but to get, so we have a teacher in the classroom, there is teachers who will rotate through and teach on their planning period. And so you count that as a vacancy or no? And so that's the challenge when we put the data out like this. It technically still is a vacancy, but we're making do to get somebody in it because you have to have a teacher in the classroom. We have to.
So I'm just curious. So what would, if we looked at the same report and it said, you know, total vacancies, regardless of whether it's public to view, what would those numbers look like?
Well, this is what the schools need right now. So when you have 30 vacancies posted, that's what we have this week, 30 vacancies posted. These are the next sheet behind it is the schools that do have an active posting on the system that people can pull up, apply, and hopefully we can find somebody to fill that vacancy.
All right.
Doug and I have discussed quite a bit, it's not a perfect system because it's effectively self-reported by the principals, is my understanding of it. And if principals decide that it's easier to distribute the excess students amongst the current teachers as opposed to saying we have a vacancy and need another teacher, then we'll never know.
Well, they can't post a vacancy where they have contracted with the teachers to teach those periods, because they have a contract with the teacher to teach those periods and they can't hire somebody to do it. So those positions that Doug's describing cannot be posted because they're filled in essence. There are teachers filling those.
So
positions.
How many are there?
It wouldn't be a vacancy, is that what you're saying?
They're not a vacancy, but they're not. It's how the district accounts for positions, because they didn't fill it with a full-time teacher. They contracted out for a period by somebody who was already employed. So they still say, we did not fill this position, but they can't post it.
As vacant. Right.
As a vacant
position. So what Garrett wants to know is how many of those are there? That's what Garrett wants to know.
Yeah, it's a legitimate question, right?
Yeah,
it's a legitimate question, but I'm trying to think.
Is it 300? Is it 1,000?
No, but I'm trying to think of how they would account for that other than polling the schools to ask. And a lot of times, it's not even a full teacher unit.
Sure.
It's a it's a, to relieve overcrowding of one subject, so they have to have one period or two periods of a subject. We call them singletons, but so, you know, you have to differentiate between what is a full class load and what is a single period. So the question would have to be, how many full teacher vacancies do we have filled by contracted periods? And probably that could be answered.
It would have to be a poll. We'd have to have a human resources specialist call each principal. They'd have to identify who's in that, you know, what full-time position do they have,
and that
the person is teaching. So, but remember, it can be pieced together too. You may need just one science class, like Pat's talking about, and you get a teacher to do that on the planning period.
And that's not the same as what we're talking about.
But would that be listed as a vacancy if just one class? Right.
No.
So that's not what we're discussing. No, we're talking about these are the number of positions we need to put a full body into. Is that correct?
It would be. Yeah, what's on the sheet is correct. I mean, you can pretty much say we have 30 vacancies for teachers right now today.
We could hire 30 people.
That's what we need.
Correct.
Yeah, and then if you look at the next sheet, it shows you which schools need them. So we've identified it. This is accurate. If you're going to go compare this to last year's and the year before and the year before, you have principals moving around, and it would be hard to go back and piece them together and say, who did you have, which unit did you have teaching on their planning periods to fill the unit? You know,
you can compare this to how many vacancies you had posted last year.
This is what the district is.
That would be the accurate.
So we will get the information from last year and the year before.
Absolutely, but it'll be in that same form.
No,
if you have people working on their planning periods, there will be no knowledge.
It has somewhat of an asterisk, but it's the best information that we have to rely on right now.
It's a very small asterisk.
It's the way the district can track the vacancies.
So what I've been asking every month, how many vacancies we have, it's only what is posted. Okay, interesting. But so
technically that is, I mean, if somebody's actually filling
But the district still needs an additional teacher, even though you work for the time period. You got one teacher willing to commit, hey, I'll fill in this class, I'll use up my planning period. Like, how many teachers are utilizing their planning period to teach an additional class?
The hungry ones.
Yeah, do they get paid for that?
I mean,
they get paid, yeah.
They're paid to plan outside of
it. It's working an extra shift.
Yeah, right. They should be paid. I'm just curious, though, how many.
But if you only need one shift covered, you don't need a full body, then, I mean.
Or
absolutely.
Is it every shift?
And that's a good point. If you need one more math class, you should not hire another teacher.
It's
not only one class,
right?
One every period,
right.
It's not seven periods that they keep switching.
It's more utilized for one year.
Can I ask a question about, Bobby said that you guys said they might take the kids and put them in other classes, but isn't there a count on the how many kids
there
can
is.
Be?
So there's a class size amendment for that. And so you run that for elementary.
Right,
you
so
do
saying
need,
it's
that's
that.
What
we're
talking
yeah.
about for elementary, where you do need a classroom
right.
teacher.
So what?
So you can break them up and put them into other classes.
And then you're over the limit.
You're over the limit, yep. And then another way
then
is to is you can have a sub. You can have a long-term sub come in. And some of them are excellent. They just don't want to commit to a long-time contract for whatever reason. So we do fill them that way. Sometimes we have people leave during the middle of the year, which changes this if they go on, you know, leave, maternity leave, or if they decide it's not for them. We have people leave in the middle of the year too.
But I think we're just trying to figure out, like, if there's 30 or is there 90 really?
There's 30. There's 30 teacher vacancies right now, which is about
1%. Okay.
You have about a 1% vacancy rate in instructional.
Okay.
So,
that's good.
What is the state average?
Well, this
is a good comparison.
State average. It depends on how you measure it.
Doesn't everybody measure the state?
There are 2,200 vacancies in the state.
Yeah.
2,200.
That's it. That's damn good.
Currently.
That's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question.
No.
Bus drivers, how many vacancies do we have specifically with bus drivers? And is that only posted versus actual?
It's right there, bus driver.
So we have 14 this week posted. Again, we have 14 vacancies posted. Last time, if you recall, we bragged about having.
But is that posted or actual, I guess, is my question since.
It might be different.
No, that's actual.
Yeah.
That's how many we need. We need 14. But just like the teachers, those routes have to be covered. So you have, and Ms. Howell can answer this too. You have bus drivers right now doing double runs. They're in my neighborhood.
But you still post the vacancies.
We still post it because, but the children still have to get picked up.
Right, the shift's being covered.
Yeah.
And children still need to be taught, right? So, but we're doing it differently than between the two.
No.
Yes.
Well, it's the same. I mean, those routes are still being covered. No student is at, no student's standing at their bus stop waiting for a bus.
Doug, he's saying you do not post the vacancy if it's covered in the teacher unit. You do post it if the route's being picked up in the bus driver unit.
That's correct.
Correct.
Well, it's a little bit different on how those are covered.
Yes, it's different.
It's not the same thing. One's a pool of bus drivers.
Just for clarity.
They're not the same, but they're employees, I think, is what.
David? Yes, thank you, Chair. Just for clarification, what's the difference between requisitions and vacancies on each one of these columns? On the third page?
Yeah, so we have a job description for a bus driver. You have 13 vacancies for it. Some of those would show different types, AC mechanic. You may have an AC mechanic that does certain kind of AC systems, and then you need another certain kind of AC system. So there'd be two different type of recs for that. Two different, even though we classify them on the sheet as an AC mechanic, you may have one that deals with, you know, cooling towers and one that deals with.
And if it's all the same type, I'm assuming they just put in a zero?
Yep.
Okay, so that's a number of different requisitions.
Different types?
Different types of jobs.
Over one, okay, thank you for clarification.
So I do think because of the recent raises, we're starting our bus drivers at $15.02, $15.02, which is one of the highest around. I do think, we're going to track this out, I do think you're going to see us put a dent in this for here in Manatee County. I think the wages will help. I think they've helped considerably over where we were last year.
Well, I think when we first began this conversation of bus driver vacancies, we were talking about 25 vacancies.
Yeah, they were. They were like at 30.
I thought it was 30.
Yeah, we were at 30 pretty consistently.
I do think that this definitely shows an improvement over what our conversations were.
Right, yeah, right. Excellent.
Same with AIDS. I mean, we have just 10 vacancies in AIDS. I mean, I can remember three times that amount.
And I think with us being able to have, you know, at least be 20 shorter, we're getting to the schools, especially the middle schools, a lot earlier, getting the students home a lot earlier. Because I know it was really bad at Sugg and King. Yeah, they were really bad. I mean, children being picked up after 5.
Because we had to do double runs. The route still has to be filled.
Right, you got to get the kid to school.
So you take them home, and then you go back and pick up another group that's still waiting there.
Yeah.
And that's what she's talking about.
Three runs.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
So how many total bus drivers do we have?
We have 155 different routes. So, you know, we're running the same, like 1%. Or 10%.
So we have 155 actual bus drivers.
And routes. We have 155 routes.
Well, I didn't ask routes. I asked how many bus drivers.
155 minus 14, so you'd be at 46. 141.
He's only Steve. He's not Steve.
So I'm just curious, since we're operating, we're getting all the kids to and from school without the 14, but if we did have the 14, what does that mean in practical terms? They get back and forth quicker?
They would.
Okay, she's shaking her head no, so.
Fewer runs, fewer paths.
And then we would have to, when people call off, those routes will be full, will be filled. So if we had more, because sometimes I'm thinking like, this number accounts for the overflow, because we usually, when we're operating normally, we usually have a few subs. We have subs now, which is the newer people, and they cover a route if a driver's not at work or off for, being injured or something like that. It's people that, usually the newer hirees are subs. They bounce around covering different routes. You don't usually come in, very seldom do you come in and have a regular route.
So subs are not in the 14 or the 155.
Yeah, well, no, they most likely they are, but I'm saying usually our numbers account for an overflow. So like you said, we have 155. The 14 may be, it still may be 155 drivers, but it may be some of them may be accounting for overflow.
I don't know what you mean by overflow.
Well, just a sub. It's like having a sub pool.
Somebody's going to call in every day.
You hire 155 because you need 140 and you have call outs. Right. So right. It's not so much overflow, is it staffing to accommodate for historical absenteeism for illness or whatever.
But if we had our way, we would want 14 additional bus drivers right today. Yes. And what that would mean in practice
is you're fully employed and then they have the.
Right.
That's what we need.
Because we're getting kids to and from school right now, but if we had an additional 14, it would be a little bit quicker getting kids. Is that?
Absolutely.
Because she says no.
Well, you wouldn't have somebody running two routes.
They're having to run extra routes. The current drivers have to run extra routes.
So they would only run one route instead of two routes.
And they don't have to run the extra routes if we have everybody.
And the extra routes, I tell you, we're paying overtime. Is that?
Some, if they go over 40 hours a week.
Some.
They're getting paid.
Kids are staying in their week.
Yes. All bus drivers who do the extra double runs, of course, are getting compensated for their time. Is it at overtime? It depends on how many hours you work in a week. You have to work 40 hours a week to hit that overtime. So.
I think overall,
do we own enough buses to fill those?
We do. We have the buses ready. We're ready. We need the 14 drivers. That's what we need.
How much is a bus?
$110,000.
You
need a bus?
Well, I'm just.
No, but I get you one on the market.
I don't think it matters for the course of discussion. So.
Okay. The driver that's expensive.
Yes.
All right.
I think the numbers are pretty good.
Three.
I think they do very well.
Yeah. Maybe there's a problem with bus drivers, but short of that, it looks pretty good.
Can we run an ad for bus drivers? Can we make a big deal about this?
We need to do a better deal. We've done marketing.
I know, but I mean, smack on the Brandon Herald, put it on the front, take the Oyster Bar off. You know what I'm saying? Make it blue and yellow, and let's say we need bus drivers in January.
I'll take the applications to add the Oyster Bar.
But you know what I mean?
You're 100% right. We have incentives for bus drivers to refer people to drive. We have a great starting wage. We've got a great fleet that's newer than many. Our wages are higher than most. We have air conditioned on our buses. So that's what we have. Some do not.
All right.
Do you have anything else to add as we wrap up data analytics?
Thank you. We're good, but I'm hearing what you're saying. We're going to come back with data the best we can for show historical averages of monthly, and that way it's not weekly, monthly, and then we'll see what we can talk about to show how we're doing.
But that's not our job.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you for being here, Jacob.
Right. Okay. You've made the point.
All right. That's it for data analytics.
Thank you very much, Mr. Donby. All right. Income and expense subcommittee?
Income and expense met. We have received, I believe, the data we need to complete our report for the end of the year and do the same comparable analysis that we did at the 6 month trajectory. The second issue was a calculation issue. I've met with Mr. Davis. He way ahead of me. He understands everything about it. Pat Barber understands everything about it, and Ms. Jenkins understands it well, I'm told, and I believe she does. It'll be a self-correcting issue going forward, and it'll take care of itself in future contracts. End of my report.
Yep, I've got, there's more from there. We've got the notes. I apologize. David sent me the notes, and I thought I had forwarded them. I had not, so we're going to need to get the notes from that meeting. I'll get it to you to update in there. The subcommittee also had a question for the board. Is, do we have the jurisdiction to recommend revisiting the percentile allocation of the millage funds the next time around? Meaning, can this committee recommend to the board how to redraw those pie charts?
For the next millage?
Correct.
I think you can do anything you want for the next one. I mean, it may be a good thing to say this is what we analyze.
Well, I guess then the question from the subcommittee is, should we, and when do we start doing that?
Yes and soon.
And can I say why?
That discussion started talking about the percentage that was going to the charter schools. Mm-hmm. The percentage, and then we had a long discussion about the percentage going to AFSCME.
Mm-hmm.
AFSCME.
Right.
And whether or not the public is going to go back when we can provide them data to show, hey, this is working for these particular sections, but if it's not working for some section, are they going to say no to the overall? Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. you know, should we try to help that going forward?
It might be good also to have some information about the reasoning behind those percentages, because I don't, unless you follow those conversations in the very beginning when they were presented to the board, I don't think that most people heard those conversations about what the reason was that those percentages.
I mean, but that would be a good place to start to have that and say, okay, this is what was presented the first time around, mm-hmm. and here's what our committee has gone through and looked at and digressed through, and then we think that it was awesome, the millage has helped in these, but we think we should tweak it because this percentage was too much, this should move, we should put more here, we should put less here, and that's what we feel. This worked well, let's put more into this. This really... We didn't get what we were looking for. Overall, it was outstanding. Some of it was good, some of it was not. So, I mean, like, that's any, I agree.
So what the discussion really went deep into, Dina really opened a lot of our eyes talking about the shortages of bus drivers, and I know we just kind of went over that, but I'd like to get back to it specific to the way that the millage applies to the bus driver salaries and the comparison, because I know Mr. Wagner says that we've got a good starting salary, but I think we're comparing, if I'm remembering this correctly, we're comparing ourselves to other school districts when that might not be, like when we're trying to recruit teachers, we're competing against Sarasota-Hillsborough. But when we're recruiting bus drivers, we're really not. We're competing against Powell, we're competing against Early Learning.
Local now.
Right, so, you know, the question is, you know, can you touch on that again if, off the top of your head if you remember what those numbers were?
Oh yeah, I was saying that it was Powell, it was Rowlett, MSA, Parish Charter, Palmetto, something else, another. It's like two other ones, Rowlett. They were just right off the rip starting $15, and at the time before we, you know, got the raises, we were at $13.95. So we didn't even have to worry about competing with Sarasota County or Hillsborough County Pine Hills. Our competition was right here in town. Now, they do not offer insurance. The people that I talked to worked at these places, they did not offer insurance, but they had other little perks. I know MSA had a matching 401k. Someone else had a...
They have a 401k, but they don't have Florida retirement.
No, they don't. And I'm saying, I know it was just little things. You know, I'm just saying the difference. It wasn't, it was making it better, but it was just they offered these things in place of. I think one did a...
They don't have their own bus service. They contract.
They do not. They contract that. They contract that. And the people that work for them, a lot of the people were not locals. You know, that was a thing too, because once before we tried to pull in people through a pool, and we were trying to do it at different locations, but it did not work for us. We tried, because they tried to contract before, and it didn't work for us in Manatee County. But with this company, they brought some of their people from other places, and it's working for them, but it didn't work for us when we tried to, you know, think about contracting out.
A&S Transportation.
Then. Yeah, it did not work for us. But they, it's little things, but it does not have a retirement. It does not have insurance. Don't have, there's a couple other things they didn't have, but they did have. They were paying people weekly. Some of the people are getting paid weekly, some are getting paid bi-weekly.
Yeah.
So little stuff like that, you know.
So again, I guess the question would come back to our committee. If we could go back and increase that portion of the millage and simply add a percent, 2%, that would allow us to be more competitive as a district to the non-school system competition, is that worth our committee recommending? Well, we don't have to make a decision on it today. I'm simply
again,
saying.
I would recommend that we have a conversation about how those percentages were arrived at, because it wasn't arbitrary.
Because Pat, who was in that conversation that would be a good to invite to us?
The superintendent recommended those.
At the time?
Dr. Mm-hmm. Green,
okay.
But I'm sure that we can either look back at the record or Superintendent Saunders can make a presentation, but those were not arbitrary numbers.
Do you happen to remember how soon before the vote? Was it a year before? Was it 6 months before? Was it?
That was the initial presentation to the board.
Was it a year?
At least?
I would say at least a year.
Would you recognize?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, he's a guy at the end. He's not allowed to talk.
Well, regardless of going into why those numbers are the way we're set at those levels, we know more now than we did then. I think what we all want to avoid is just pots of money sitting there looking to be spent on anything just to get those dollars spent.
And this is...
It's about the efficient and effective use also is the way I would cache it. But I also don't think it's our role to question the process by which those numbers were initially set.
I'm not suggesting question. I'm suggesting educate. I think this committee should be educated about why those numbers were set the way they were, because if not, you could make a mistake in recommending that they be set a different way.
Absolutely.
They're not arbitrary percentages.
The goals of, okay, so we set this to achieve what goal essentially is
or because of the percentage that group represents of the employees in the district.
Understood.
They are not arbitrary.
Understood. Again, that's my two cents.
So I think we should understand before we try to make a change.
And that's well presented, and I appreciate that.
But, I mean, that's the hand we were dealt with, those percentages.
Right.
I think I agree, we need to look and see. I mean, the whole task of our committee is to make sure it came in properly, it went out properly,
right.
And then we got results. So we can, at that point, say, mm-hmm. this is the way it was set up. We disagree, we agree, you know, here's the results and here's why. We think, so we can come after it, whether it's arbitrary or whether it's, you know, throwing numbers at the wall and see what sticks. We can say,
yeah,
it made sense at the time to do this percentage, but now we think we need to put more into this effort. And what we also have to find is, are we getting better educated children? I think that's the whole key.
Amen.
Whether we've got lower turnover, it doesn't matter. If the kids are coming out less than they were before the muscle loop, it doesn't make sense to keep throwing money at something if we're not getting results. So, I mean, we can analyze all this, but if the kids are not getting a better education, the money's not helping. So, I mean, we've got to put that equation into it as well. Karen?
So I would like to submit that at prior board meetings before this tax, the final vote of the board, there was a half a mil that was proposed. And then all of a sudden it became a full mil. So I don't know. I don't know if I think there was, I don't know if I would go along with that there was so much delivery. We know that contract schools were left out. So it was originally proposed as a half mil. And then all of a sudden, bam, it went to a full mil. In fact, I remember Dr. Hopes, might have been okay with a half mil, maybe even Cologne. But then it all of a sudden jumped to one mil really out of thin air.
But I think the percentage would have been the same, no matter, it would have been less dollars, but the percentage would have been the same, and that's what we're talking about.
I'm not suggesting that we don't talk about whether or not, once we've delivered what we've been asked to deliver,
right,
if we want to make some other kind of recommendation. I'm just saying let's have all the facts before we make some kind of recommendation, because we should educate.
But I think we'll have the facts of what the money's paid for.
I mean, we've educated ourselves a lot. We've done a lot of digging into these issues and how the money's being spent and everything else. And so I think that if we're going to delve into the subject that was raised about the percentages, we should do the same thing.
I think we'll make an informed decision. David?
Going forward, this also won't matter, because last session they changed the law so that it has to say where and what percentile will this money go right on the ballot. So it won't really matter for our cases. We can help educate to the, you know, the body and put that forward. But right now it's just set by school board resolution. That they can change whenever they want, just for this group's edification.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Susan,
did you have something?
Ready?
David, does that, we go back to that. Does that mean that the school board could, in theory, next month change the way that that millage is broken down?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those numbers weren't set for.
They weren't in the referendum.
Right.
Bingo.
Right.
It's one pool.
Mm-hmm.
They have honor.
We would be crazy to do.
I think the school board would be crazy.
Leave it in your crazy.
Well,
let the record show he said David was crazy.
Not only that, but there are collective.
As a personal sure.
Couldn't do it this year because, as Pat said, you already have your collective bargaining agreements.
Right.
So those supplements have been set for this year, and if you change the percentage, we wouldn't have enough funding likely to pay those supplements unless you increased it.
And I think also that I don't think probably that's going to happen.
I wasn't recommending it. I was just asking if that was.
I don't think we probably should get into that. But
you're British. They're protective. We're
right. Right. Is that what? Okay. Can I say something?
Are you going to remember?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I just was wondering if that's what you're worried about. Are you worried about the teachers?
I'm perfectly capable of standing up for my people.
No, I mean, I just wonder if that's a little concerning you.
I don't think anybody in this group doubts my ability.
No. I just wondered if that's what was bothering you.
No, I think that there's an expectation of everyone who's benefiting from the referendum and how those percentages were allocated. And so if that changed for the next vote, then that should be a deliberate decision by the board based on a recommendation that's been fully vetted before it's made. It's not based on my guarding my own gate, because I'm not just here to guard my own gate. I'm here for the greater good of my district. But I just feel like that it's very easy to make an arbitrary decision because of something emotional. Mm-hmm. But we should be making sure we have all the facts.
Yeah.
We're just making recommendations.
It's up to somebody
at
else
most.
To make the decision.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other comments on the income and expense? Anyone? All right. We've got an email with two attachments today. I don't know if all of you got them, but it's a reconciliation, final numbers. Tammy, would you give us a brief breakdown?
She's not here, but...
I'm sorry, did I talk? I'm looking at it, it says from Tammy, so Heather, my apologies.
Yes.
Staring at you.
The first document basically just shows the revenue and expense by program number. Program is what we use to identify instruction, AFSCME, et cetera.
Right.
There is one program last year for STEM. So a change that you will see this year is that we've added a STEM science, a STEM remediation, a STEM vocational, and a STEM K-5 program to help explain what those expenditures are and where they go towards. You know how we have different groupings, so that's going to help us out this year. That document also includes the detail, which is the information Mr. Christopher needs to create his summary for your group.
Okay. So, and on that line, when Doug brought last meeting, all the different, from the different levels, so now you're breaking down the cost, are the expenditures per those same levels?
Yes, that's the entire referendum allocation. Doug brought forth the STEM, which his group had broken down.
Yeah, but just those three, remember I just said we have the three areas, the science labs, the K-5, we call them STEM, but they're really the engineering program, and the vocational, and then we've also talked about the after-school tutoring that the funds for each school receives a pot of money to do after-school tutoring or extra activities.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Right.
Those are four. So she has the whole thing. She does the teachers.
Teachers, parents.
Ask me the whole thing.
But the after school or the new tutoring, is that not broken down? Or did I miss it?
It's part of STEM.
It's part of it.
So
it's
not that we don't want. Yeah, we want them to be broken out so you have separate pots. You can track the funds. You know exactly how much you're spending in each area. It's not all clumped together.
Okay.
So last year, it like Doug said, it was all clumped together. So his group broke it out into those sheets.
Right.
That you all saw.
Right.
And this year, in addition to that, we've added new program numbers so that when we run our reports, those reports will match Doug's sheets. We'll add an explanation.
Mr. Christopher?
I noticed that I think you broke out the reserve in a separate item of the program.
Mm-hmm.
That was for last year. I'm just seeing it.
Well, we talked about that last meeting because STEM, we didn't use STEM money, so we pulled it out of STEM, and then it would always be earmarked to go back to STEM if you didn't need the 3%, and then we would take it out of the beginning from this point forward if there is an increase or a decrease. Is that correct?
My point was that's going to show up on that bar chart. I've got to account for the total.
Right.
So, and I don't think that causes anybody trouble. That should have been done and was done.
Yes.
Right.
So we'll just make a point. I mean, it'll be on there and say, of the 37 million, here's 3%, 1.1.
For reserve.
Right.
And you could include a description, you know, like the district is required to hold 3% of all new revenues.
Right.
Addition of the referendum increased revenue by $37 million.
Right.
Therefore.
Exactly. And we pulled out of unutilized STEM.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Because we weren't sure if we could use that money for X, Y, and Z.
Correct.
That's correct. For the science labs, for rebuilding.
Right.
So that's
capital.
Why it got stuck. Yep.
Yep. All right. Anything else on the referendum expenditures? Brady?
Under guidance, can you explain that it's under
what number?
It's actually under a couple places. 6121? 6120. 6120.
Uh-huh.
it's listed under, it seems, all sections. Is that counseling for the teachers and the staff, not guidance counselors, or is that guidance counselors?
Guidance counselors.
I'm just curious, why are they logged under teachers as well as non-bargaining, or they're in both places?
Because some guidance counselors teach or are testing monitors. Jacob has done the breakdown. I will defer to him and let him give you the exact explanation.
Yeah, there are two sets of them. One are required to be licensed teachers, and then the other set are not. They fall into the hourly non-bargaining group. That's precisely correct.
Awesome.
Any other questions?
And I guess I got the same question. Why is school admin principals listed under non-bargaining, that section? Under S, 73010.
It's also under S. Correct. You're right. I highlighted that as well.
So $758,000 is under AFSCME.
It's under AFSCME?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
1.352.
I believe that's under school admin with the clerical individuals that work within the offices are coded to that function. It's not just school principals. So within the AFSCME group, you have AFSCME and non-bargaining. So that's why they fall into that section.
Sure,
that
makes sense.
They're non-bargaining,
yeah.
Not AFSCME.
And we actually looked those up when we first ran the very first report, because I was like, what? Principals, they're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So we had checked into those as well.
Those would be fantastic.
Any other questions?
If you come across any, you can send them to us. We'll be happy to answer them.
Send them to Tammy, right?
Awesome.
Yeah. We'll make Kathy answer.
Try my fire.
Yes.
Give her plenty of tasks.
She's good.
She doesn't work for me.
Right. Any other new business? No? Karen?
So, did the union, is that all finalized now with the,
Yes.
And so if you were to, not counting the millage, what would be the average percentage increase that teachers receive?
The percentage overall of the settlement was 2.6% for teachers, 3.6% for paras.
And then, just out of curiosity, in years past, what were those percentages?
I
mean, is it pretty much consistent, or is it lower?
It's higher than last year.
It's higher than last year, but okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Administrative. Our next subcommittee meeting is Tuesday, January 7th.
That'll be the workshop, is that right?
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. President.
As in workshop.
No, my question, my comment was going to be, I think committees ought to come with material to start developing the report.
Yes.
So that we can get it approved.
Did we decide to move it at night?
We had talked in March. Was the presentation. All right. The next committee meeting will be the 21st.
It's on my calendar.
So, you may be doing that one. Tell us.
I was just looking, that's, let me go with that one. So,
sounds like Brady and I are both going to be in Tallahassee on the 21st.
Probably also going to be David Ballard.
That would be a really good meeting.
We should just call out and send the meeting.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
We get a quorum.
Do we want to think of moving?
Do you really want that?
Yeah, of course you do.
Should set the agenda too.
He knows.
That's right, he does.
Kathy,
could you just ask, can you see if other dates are available in that week? Or how long are you? We're just up and back that day.
The following week is a school board workshop. The 28th is.
The 28th is school board meeting and workshop.
January 17th, we have a workshop.
Yes.
From 12 to 5.
Yes, that's Friday.
The school board does?
Yes.
Yeah, it's at the bottom here. From
12 to 5?
Yeah. January 17th. Yeah, they're having that long capital workshop.
You said January 17th?
January 17th.
Where's that?
It's not on my list.
It's for the board.
We have different.
It's a board workshop.
How about January 14th?
They're having a special board workshop on January 17th from 12 to 5.
Mine's completely different.
It's a capital workshop.
Okay, so both workshops in January have been canceled, and we're only having the one on January 17th.
So the 28th would be the 28th would work for us then.
This is a board meeting.
We still have the meetings, the board meetings.
We have a board meeting that night.
But we could have our meeting in the afternoon, the 28th.
If you'd like, sure.
Well,
that's not really fair to.
The only problem with that is the staff will be preparing for the board meeting.
Okay.
This would just be in lieu of a workshop. How does that change anything else?
The chair and I will be getting together in the not too distant future to talk about coordinating resources.
How about January? Can we move it to the 22nd in that same week? I mean, it's a different.
That works for me.
I'll still be in town.
Yeah,
you can do it.
I mean, I'll tell David, are you still in town?
He doesn't get to come home at all, so.
30 days, 60 days, whatever you get to do.
Yeah.
All right, so the 22nd?
Sure. Is there a room available?
I'm checking.
Let's take it. Everybody else good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Can we request that other room we were in earlier?
It's
really nice.
I don't think it's big enough.
It doesn't record.
It doesn't have the recording.
Bummer.
You'll have a weird night. Right. Yeah. Really, can we move the chairs from over there?
That's what we really are asking for.
So we're going to do January 22nd, 3 to 5 in this room.
Okay. Agenda items for that meeting?
Climate survey.
Yeah. Not the environmental survey.
Also that.
Slash.
Follow up on. We will work on getting the
presentation.
Presentation.
That's probably
it.
Well. The final meeting will be presenting material for the report approval from the workshop.
It's going to be presented in March, so maybe February for final.
Well, we have to get approved. You're going to have development of each subcommittee's material.
Right, but it won't be the final.
Then you're going to bring it to the committee in total for a, and then we'll give it to your workshop, and then you'll probably draft the report for approval at that. Maybe. I would presume.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, Brady will follow the
group. Well,
Vice Chair.
Can you PowerPoint?
I cannot PowerPoint.
I can PowerPoint.
All right. Yeah, we'll get that.
Yes, sir, charter school.
That's what I said, yeah. Yeah, right.
What about the pie chart?
I'd like that one.
And so on the pie chart.
The breakdown of the percentage on the millage.
The information.
Continuing the discussion.
I'll forward it and.
Of the discussion, of the education?
Oh, you want that on the agenda?
Yeah, I'd like to continue that discussion going into the spring and then the summer.
Okay.
Bye.
So do we need to invite someone in to have that conversation?
I don't think we'll be prepared to yet. I think we need to have more discussion about it.
Okay.
And if that meeting.
So it's like in April, May?
For sure, yeah.
All right.
Just wanted to remain.
Okay. Any comments from the committee members? Jacob, you got anything for us?
Would you guys like a breakdown? You had mentioned this earlier, a breakdown by union group of all the titles within those. Would that be beneficial for you?
A breakdown of?
All titles by union group, because you had had a few questions about where different titles were mapped. Would that be beneficial for you?
More data the better.
Aren't they included in the job postings that we just got, Jacob, or?
Not all of them.
Not all.
No.
Those are just the bargaining unit positions, aren't they?
Any other comments? All right. Everybody have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We were one shy of perfect attendance to that, but we'll get there. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good trip.
Had a great trip. Oh my God.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Way too formal.
It was just unbelievable. So many.
Thank you, Jacob.
Can you look at us after? Went up to Nashville the next day. So I ran into family that I did Thanksgiving up there 3 years. She was going to have to worry about taking the table. I just keep looking at it.
So he had pictures of me and I, and then Ron did that. We came over, they had been here, so we stayed. The truck broke in there. And so he had a picture of the truck. We were coming out for a party.
It was nice having a lot
of people. Took another picture.
My information stopped going to Broadway.
Oh, I understand.
You know, I'm talking about that.
Yeah, it was like, but having Rachel there.
So, I think that's where it's all there.
I was going to say,